Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyananti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jita Padakamalam Shri Gurung Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatan Sahagana Raghunatam Ditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Ditamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kipa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just want to check again Mother Parvati too. She told me to read up to a certain... I don't have it here. In any case, let me see. No. She told me to read up to a certain point. So today we're reading from... chapter 2, text 2 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Contents of the Gita summarized. We're not going to read the whole purport. It would be nice, but then only half of it. So please repeat after me. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kasmalong Idam Visame samupastitam Anarya justam asvargyam Akirti karam arjuna Shri Bhagavan uvacha Kutastva kasmalang idam Visame samupastitam Anarya justam aisvaryam Akirti karam arjuna Shri Bhagavan uvacha Kutastva kasmalang idam Visame samupastitam Anarya justam asvaryam Akirti karam arjuna.
Shri Bhagavan
Shri Bhagavan Ubacha. Sankasmalang idam. Vishmesamupasitam. Bhagavan Ubacha. Kadasnam kasmalang idam. Visamitam upastitam. Anayajustam asparyam.
Akirti karma arjuna.
Matajis. Sri Bhagavan Ubacha. Kutasvam kasmalam idam. Visame samupasitam.
Anaya yusam asvaryam. Akirti karam arjuna.
Sri Bhagavan Ubacha. Kutasvam kasmalam idam. Visame samupasitam. Anayam justam asvardhyam.
Akirti karam arjuna.
Sri Bhagavan Ubacha. Kutasvam kasmalam idam. Visame samupasitam. Acharya justam asvardhyam.
Akirti karam arjuna.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kutaha,
wherefrom,
Tua, unto you,
Kasmalam,
dirtiness,
Idam,
this lamentation,
Bishame,
in this hour of crisis, Samupastitam, arrived. Anarya, persons who do not know the value of life. Jistam, practiced by. Asvargyam, which does not lead to higher planets. Akirti,
infamy.
Karam, the cause of.
Arjuna,
O Arjuna.
Arjuna.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. Purport. Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the absolute truth. The absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman, or the impersonal, all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma, or the localized aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 2, Text 11, this conception of the Absolute Truth is explained thus. Bhatanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjhyana advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabjate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the Absolute Truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the Absolute Truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun's surface, and the sun planet itself. One who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced. And one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth. The student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realize the personal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, the bhaktas, or the transcendentalists, who have realized the Bhagavan feature of the Absolute Truth, are the topmost transcendentalists. Although all students who are engaged in the study of the Absolute Truth are engaged in the same subject matter, the sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another, and yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. Thus end half of the purport of the chapter 2, text to the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Contents of the Gita summarized. Shri Bhagavan Ubacha Kutastva Kasmalang Idam Bishame Samupastitam Anarya Justam Asvargyam Akirti Karam Arjuna. So the Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study about the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Bhagavad Gita mainly deals with Krishna Tattva. It establishes the position of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna being the Supreme Absolute Truth. However, here, as we are hearing from the last few sentences, a couple of paragraphs in this chapter, which deals mainly with the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita was practically summarized in this chapter, considered to be the longest of the whole Bhagavad Gita. There are 700 slokas. And here we have 72 slokas. Previously, there were first chapter, 46 chapters. Is that correct? Yeah, 46 verses. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we say Krishna, as Prabhupada would say also very often, many times, is never alone. It's like the king. The king is never alone. He's always surrounded by his special associates or confidantes. He never travels alone. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he is the Supreme Person, is always surrounded by his associates, or, yes, other living entities, other living beings who are dear to him. So Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. That's why it says here, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Vyasadev used the word Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. He could have said, Shri Krishna said, Sri Krishna Uvacha. Because Krishna and Bhagavan are identical. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we heard Bhagavan, also the word Bhagavan is used, different personalities besides the Supreme Lord. Sometimes Narad Muni is called Bhagavan, and also Lord Shiva, Bhagavan. But it's not in the same context as real, who is the absolute truth. In the Bhagavatam also, the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord were mentioned. 18th and 19th incarnations, Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. But they're not incarnations. For pastime's sake, Leela, Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote or mentioned both personalities who are none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also as incarnations. Bhagavan means he is the source of everything. He does not have any source. If he has a source, then he cannot be considered or be called as Bhagavan. It came from the word Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan means very fortunate. Like if a person is fortunate, he is considered as Bhagyavan. Like devotees of the Supreme Lord or his associates. The devotees of the Lord are also considered as Bhagyavan. They are very fortunate because they receive the mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhagavan, according to Parashya Muni, is the one who possesses six opulences to the highest degree, to the unlimited degree. Wealth, beauty, fame, strength, knowledge, and renunciation. Fame also. Yeah, I forgot that. Fame. He's the most famous. He's the most beautiful. He's the source of all wealth. He's the strongest. He's knowledgeable. Unlimited. To the unlimited degree. No one can surpass him. So, in the Bhagavatam, it mentions, yeah, there's different incarnations like Nrisimhadev, Ram, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya. These are also Bhagavan. But within Krishna, all of this incarnation resides. Krishna is not an avatar. Krishna is avatari. Avatari means source of all incarnations. These are these other expansions are portions or parts are considered as not as complete as Lord Krishna. Of course, Lord Nrisimhadev, he has the same power to the highest degree as Lord Krishna. Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Krishna himself. In the there is a portion also is mentioned. Oh, I got the holy guy. It's holy. Only Krishna and the gopis and the Brajabasis can play holy. We don't play holy. That is their pastimes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or more specifically, the Chaitanya Bhagavat explains also, it's like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like an expansion of the Supreme Lord. But there is no such thing or such a time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came about or manifest. It's just like it's there all the time. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes, the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is established as the Purna Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. The Bhagavatam also, there is a verse, Ete Chamsakala Pumsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan, complete. Others are in the nectar of devotion, the summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was originally written by Srila Rupa Goswami. He also analyzed these different incarnations of the Supreme Lord or expansions of the Supreme Lord. Like Narayan, Lord Narayan also expanded from the Supreme Lord. It's like in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha Loka, the Narayan feature of the Supreme Lord means the four-armed form of the Supreme Lord manifest after the Chaturbyuha, Sankarsan, Aniruddha, Pranyubna, and Vasudev. So in the Vaikuntha Loka, these different expansions, four-armed form, depending on how they are holding these different items into their hands, namely their 24 main expansions. This lotus flower, the chakra, the conch, and the club, Narayan feature, is 94% God. 94%. Next is Lord Shiva. Then us, which is the highest, is Lord Brahma. The feature, topmost personality, Jiva. So 100% is Lord Krishna. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, which is the ultimate in the absolute truth. Now, according to the Bhagavatam also, as we've just heard from the purport, the Supreme Absolute Truth has three aspects. Namely, yes, Bhagavan, the personal feature, the Paramatma, which is the localized aspect within everyone's heart and everywhere. The Paramatma. Paramatma is the super soul. He is present everywhere, in every atom, and in between the atom, and even smaller than the atom, quarks. That time there's no quarks. Well, there's quarks, they said. They just said now it's quarks, but in those days only atoms, they reach up to that far. So he's present everywhere. He's present here. Oh, it became louder. Haribo. Present in the inside the petals, outside the petals, inside the table, outside the table, inside us. Maybe the Paramatma went inside here also, that's why it became louder.
Yeah,
we need to recognize the Paramatma. It's very important to understand the Paramatma. Paramatma means the super soul within everyone's hearts. And this Paramatma feature of the Supreme Lord travels along with the jivas in whatever species of life they happen to be embodied. The jivas are always embodied by either spiritual body. Of course, in the spiritual world, there is no Paramatma, because Krishna is there as Bhagavan. The Paramatma is only in the material world to guide us to give us the direction, show us how to go back home, back to Godhead. But due to our obstinate nature, due to our hard-headed and hard-hearted nature, being bound by the modes of material nature, we don't want to listen to that Paramatma. No, Paramatma, let's say we... Okay, Paramatma is really powerful. Now, Paramatma, he travels with us along with the soul, irregardless of what species we take to. Either demigod's body, or dog's body, or an ant's body. And Paramatma is always the same. He's kind of neutral. He doesn't interfere with the choice of the Jiva Atma. Now, every Jiva Atma has this, what you call, minute independence. It's like a gem that everyone has. This minute independence is what makes us unique. And the Paramatma does not interfere to whatever the jivas would like to choose. But the Paramatma is always reminding us, don't taste that fruit. That fruit that will bind you birth after birth in this material world. The bondage means taking birth again and again in this different species. And this is the very unique nature of the Supreme Lord. If He did not give us this minute independence, then there is no such thing as love. There is no such thing as bhakti. Krishna is a person, we are also a person. And when we unite with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and the jivas, then bhakti begins. But this is what Krishna wanted for us, but we are so obstinate, we don't want to turn our back towards Him. Instead, we turn our back from Him, away from Him. But Krishna is still very compassionate, is very kind, that He did not want to let us go. It's like a child. A child may become rebellious, but the parents will always be waiting for that time when the child will return home. The door is always open for that child to return. So similarly, the Paramatma, he says in the Bhagavatam, the Paramatma is like the size of the thumb from this end to that end. That is the size of the Paramatma. And also the Paramatma has forearm form, Narayan feature, wearing a yellowish silken cloth with Kostuba gem. So we can just imagine. But the soul is 1/10,000, the tip of the hair. But at the same time, if the Paramatma is this size, he can still enter into the atom, and the atom is like, you cannot see in the microscope. They just imagine that that's the size of the atom, but no one has seen the atom yet. So, yes, Supreme Lord can be the smallest, smaller than the smallest, and bigger than the biggest. That's another feature of the Supreme Lord, as Virat Rup, the universal form, the entire creation, That is his form, material creation. So, how kind is the Paramatma? Isvara sarvabhutanam riddesi Arjuna tisthati. The super soul always with the jiva. Jiva being like is going to different species of life, just like a machine. This body is like a machine. So within this body, material form that we have, the jiva, the embodied soul, is inside, and also the paramatma. And explains also that the paramatma and the jiva atma, the main difference is that the paramatma he never forgets. He knows the past, present, and future. Even before we think what we're going to think, even before we would like to do something, the Paramatma knows immediately. Way before. Never forgets, he always remembers the past, the present, and the future. And the Jiva, however, he forgets the past. Now he's bewildered, and he doesn't know what's in the future. That's a big difference. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, both you and I, we're always together. Arjuna is always with Krishna. I mentioned this knowledge. I told this knowledge to the sun god Vibhasvan, and you were present. But you cannot remember. This is our nature. We're forgetful. Of course, some are gifted being a Srutidhar. It's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Srutidhar means once they heard once, they remember. They don't need to write down the notes or use a tape recorder to record. They can remember. So the Paramatma is like this. He's giving us opportunity always, irregardless of whatever decision. Even our decision is opposed to what he wanted us to do. Where can you find a personality like this? Usually even, not usually, but sometimes, even great, you know, good friends, best friends, you know, if they disagreed with something, they will part with each other. But the Paramatma is always there. It doesn't matter where we go. As long as we have material body, the Paramatma will always be with us, directing us, encouraging us, inspiring us to go to the right direction. That is the Paramatma. And then there is the Brahman feature of the Supreme Lord. The Brahman feature of the Supreme Lord is the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord, because it doesn't have that interaction with us. We can merge in that form of the Supreme Lord. That means the effulgence. The effulgence coming from the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, which originates in the spiritual world. Even the sun's effulgence is a reflection of the Brahman, impersonal aspect. This is where the sun gets to give that light. Without that light coming from the body or the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, from the spiritual world, then there is no sunshine. Yes, these different aspects of the Supreme Absolute Truth is compared to the sun, the sunshine being the impersonal aspect, the Brahman. When we say, oh, the sun is here, when we see the sunshine entering into the room. But we cannot fully say that the sun is really here, because that is only partial. The real sun is way out there, 93 million miles away. With our imperfect senses, may look like the size of a $1 coin in Canada, called loony. Yeah, it's small, very small, but actually it's big. So when we say, oh, the sun is here, the sun has entered my room, it's not really the whole planet sun, because it's not possible to contain that planet sun inside your room. Just the sunshine, it's partial. And then the analogy that Prabhupada used here, and he used this sun very often as analogy in his books. The sun planet is the Paramatma, and the presiding deity of the sun planet, Surya Dev, Vivashvan. He is the Bhagavan, or the personal feature. So in the spiritual world, they don't need sunshine, they don't need moonshine, they don't need electricity. Why? How? Because Krishna's effulgence. Krishna's body is so effulgent. It's like from the Krishna book we've heard. Every day the elderly gopis will come and see Mother Yasoda and complain. Yasodama, your son, your two sons, Krishna and Balaram, they're so naughty, they will always come and steal our yogurt and butter, along with their monkey friends. We cannot do anything, even if we hide it in a very dark storeroom that no one can see, no one can trace. But somehow, I think you should take off their gems, ornaments, because of their effulgence. But actually, no, don't take that. There is some effulgence coming from their body. That's how they can see. They don't use mag light. There's no mag light there. There's no flash. There's no torch. You better take. Okay. This is how every day they will make some mischievous acts so that the gopis will have something to talk about. And this is Krishna consciousness. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the center. They don't talk of anything else except Krishna, even his naughty activities. Sometimes when they cannot find the butter and yogurt, Krishna and Balaram will pass urine in a clean place, so that, you know. But their urine is not like our urine. It smells fragrant. Or they will pinch the young boys, the young children, so they will cry. So this is what they will do. They will do all of this seemingly naughty activities so that they can talk the elderly gopis every day. So the Brahman effulgence is the source of the light coming from the sun. For every seekers of the absolute truth, there is a corresponding destination that they want to attain. For the yogis, they want to realize the Paramatma. This is how they met. This is what their focus when they were doing a meditation. Half closed eyes. Om also is the impersonal transcendental sound vibration of the Supreme Lord. AUM. Half close. If you meditate and you close your eyes, you more likely you'll fall asleep. So when you chant your rounds, don't completely close your eyes. You will not be chanting, you will be sleeping. That's why the yogis, they have eyes closed and they meditate on the tip of the nose like that. So they're awake. But their goal of destination is to realize Paramatma. The gyanis are usually, they are impersonalists. They're not able to, mental speculators. This is the proper word for the gyanis. Mental speculators. They use word jugglery. Word jugglery. And they miss the main focus of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedas. Actually, I am to be known in the Vedas. But they miss that. Ultimately, they concluded that the source of everything is nothing. Is zero. So they want to merge into that impersonal aspect. And the representation of that nothingness is the effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord. That there is liberation, but it's not complete again, because there is no activities, there is no reciprocation, there is no interaction between the person who merged in the Brahman effulgence and the Brahman effulgence to the person. That after some time, there is no ananda. This we call nirananda. There is no ananda. And therefore, they come back again to this material world. And for the bhaktas, for the devotees of the Supreme Lord, their destination is that loving reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's so absolute, no one is higher or lower in the eyes of the Supreme Lord when it comes to bhakti. It is not that the cows are lower than Mother Yasoda, or Mother Yasoda is lower than the gopis. No. Everyone is equal to Lord Krishna. The only difference is the sweetness, the reciprocation, the closeness. But even if one is a grain of sand in Vrindavan, he is or she is as happy as the gopis or the Brajabasi, the coward boys, or happy in such a way that satisfied. That grain of sand will not say, oh, I wish I am a gopi. I wish I am a cow. I wish I am a kalpa bhiksha tree. No. The intensity of love of that grain of sand is so much so that he will not exchange for any other personality. He is content. He is happy. So all of this nature of the absolute truth can be easily understood for those who understand Krishna as Bhagavan. As Prabhupada says, if you have a 100-rupee note, 10 rupees is inside. You don't have to aspire, oh, I wish I have a 10 rupees. No, you have 100 rupees. Provided it is real. Not in, where is that? I've seen in YouTube in Bangladesh, they have a company or like they make, what you call, counterfeit money. So in India, there is a factory of Bhagavan also. It's like every day there is a born Bhagavan. Not real Bhagavan though, because Prabhupada says, you know, you want to test if he's Bhagavan, then you please ask him to show you the universal form. Universal form. So the whole Bhagavad Gita is especially meant for us. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, Arjuna became bewildered. He is a pure devotee. He is an eternally liberated soul. But he was put into that situation whereby he was in dilemma. And actually, he gave up. He completely, he said, oh, I'm not going to fight. Here is my Gandiva bow. I'm going to the forest. I cannot fight. Because this is the nature of the saintly person. See, the whole knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita was given not to a Vedantist, but to a Kshatriya. So we may say, oh, I'm not a Vedantist, I don't know Vedas, I don't know how, you know. It's like in the beginning when I was reading this 33 years ago, or even before that, 40 years ago, because the first time I read Prabhupada's books was like 1977. I cannot figure it out what's going on here. The language is so strange. I don't know what Sanskrit is. Different names, difficult to figure it out. But keep reading. But it only makes sense when I started meeting the devotees and chanting the holy name of the Lord. So we should not give up. Arjuna gave up, but he became convinced. He became convinced after Lord Krishna told him this science, this knowledge. And we can understand the Bhagavad Gita specifically if somehow or other we receive it in a submissive mode. Submissive way. So here, Lord Krishna started to chastise Arjuna. We can only understand, especially the Bhagavad Gita, when we receive this knowledge from a bona fide source, bona fide representatives of the Supreme Lord Himself. We can read them on our own, we can get some knowledge, but fully the import, deeper meanings of what's being said here, we'll not be able to realize and understand. So we're very fortunate here in Vrindavan, we have a daily Bhagavad Gita class. Some temples I travel, they don't have. Maybe only when Guru comes, they will have a Bhagavad Gita class. But here in Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning is being read and discussed here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we're very thankful to have this opportunity to study this Bhagavad Gita amongst the association of devotees. In this way, I will understand it more and more. And if you can do a 4 months course of Bhakti Sastri, we have a Bhakti Sastri graduate here, Govinda Bhasya Prabhu. There is Bhakti Sastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, then Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, then Bhakti Godhead. But even if you're not able to do all of this, let's say, everything culminates in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we chant the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sincerely, without any offenses, that is the most important. Everything that we do culminates with the chanting of Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That is the main ingredient in bhakti, the holy name of the Lord. Without chanting the holy name of the Lord, it will not be complete. We stop here. Any questions, comments? Garba Jambabu, you have a microphone. Hare Ram.
In the beginning, you said this is Bhagavan Vacha.
Yes.
And Bhagavan Vacha is Supreme Personality of Godhead and saying Krishna also.
Yes.
In similar ways, there are somewhere is mentioned Vishnu, somewhere is mentioned Narayana. And all these are just same as Krishna also.
They're Bhagavan also.
Yeah. So sometimes Prabhupada said that wherever, whatever I have given, you have to speak according to that. Just like Bhagavan Vacha, you cannot read Krishna Vacha, you have to read Bhagavan Vacha. So similar way, sometimes we are chanting name of Vishnu, instead of name of Vishnu, you put Krishna. So whether that is correct or it is correct, I know the names are same, but we have to see what our Acharya has given, we have to go according to him.
This is the understanding that I have, that if, just for example, in Tulsi Puja, the original way, well, original songbook, Vaishnava songbook, Brindai Tulsi Deviyai Priyai Keshavasacha Vishnu Bhakti Pranidevi Sachavachai Namo Namaha. Supposed to be Vishnu. Prabhupada chastised devotees in Los Angeles when he heard devotees, they're using Krishna Bhakti, Paridevi, Satcha Bhakti, Namo Namaha. He says, you are so advanced, you are chanting Krishna Bhakti, but it is Vishnu Bhakti. So somehow we became over-intelligent here. As day passed by, time passed by, that they changed in the Vaishnava songbook Vishnu Bhakti to Krishna Bhakti. So in a sense, there is nothing wrong with that also. So whatever the leader chants, you should also chant. If he says Krishna Bhakti, you should chant Krishna Bhakti. If he says Vishnu Bhakti, he should chant Vishnu Bhakti. But, again, if you really want to not deviate to what the Shastra says, but Krishna and Vishnu are the same. Vishnu is Krishna. Also, there's no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. The only difference, one has forearm form and one has two-arm form. Like Vasudev Krishna has forearm form. The one in Mathura and the one in Dwarka has forearm form, Vasudev Krishna. So, but we should not change. We should not change.
Once I asked from BBT manager Bhima Prabhu that how this has been changed, he said one of the GBC members has changed this one. So I asked him, you recognize GBC member or you recognize Prabhupada?
We should not change.
Confusion was there. And also when we are reading Bhagavatam, where is Vishnu, we have to read Vishnu. Where is Krishna, we have to read Krishna. But where is Vishnu, then I read Krishna, it doesn't sound better. Just like as Narsingh Arati. Narsingh is same Krishna. If you chant Namaste, Krishna Deva, it's a lot of...
Yeah, so we try not to deviate as much as possible. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But it's not a sin.
It's not a sin, but whatever the acharya, you have to...
What to do?
That's why I say hearing is very important.
That's what Prabhupada says, don't be a better Paramahamsa than your Guru Maharaj. Don't be too over. We are always full in front of our Guru Maharaj. Not full number two, full number one. We should always. No, don't. That's why old school is good. Old school means they're right to the point. They're strict. They're, you know. They may be crazy, hey, it's an old school, so what? Old school is the best. Old is gold. Old is gold. Old is gold. So, yeah, we should not... It's like I was chanting, leading kirtan in Los Angeles. That was the world headquarters at that time. So I was leading Mangalarti, and I says, Mahaprabhu kirtana nitya gita baditra maja manas. And then after the kirtan, one senior Prabhupada disciple says, hey Prabhu, it's not Mahaprabhu, it's Mahaprabhu. Especially in the Singha prayers, very few knows the Singha prayers. Very few. Most of them are wrong. There's one very senior Prabhupada's disciples heard him saying that Nisinga prayer is in Mayapur, and it's 100% correct. Sridhar, the late Sridhar Swami. 100%. When I led kirtan, Mayapur, Nisinga prayers, I have to repeat the Nisinga prayers so that they can pronounce the way I do. I may not be perfect, but that's how we learn from the Vaishnava songbook. Nowadays, they just, you know, it's wrong. It's wrong. So like, ito Nisingha, parato Nisingho. Most of the kirtan leaders in Nisingha is always Nisingha. Yato yato yamita to Nisingho. Bahir Nisingho. No, yato yato yamita to Nisingha. Bahir Nisingho, Hridaye Nisingho. It's not Bahir Nisingha, Hridaye Nisingha. No, that's wrong. So, if the pronunciation is wrong a little bit, then the meaning change. It's like, you know, when we were in Mayapur, we attended the ILS meetings, and there was part of the group discussion is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Ramo. You know, because in Bengal, they don't say Rama. But if you see, it's not Ramo, it's not spelled Ramo, it's Rama. Krishno, it's not Krishno, it's Krishna. Of course, in Hindi, it's Krishan, right? Krishan. So, but ultimately, what boils down is our intention. Our motive in how we chant. The pronunciation may be corrected later, but what is our motivation? What is our intention when we're chanting? As Prabhupada says, even in your own language, you can chant the holy name of the Lord. Because every part of the world, they have different pronunciation, different accent, different way, you know. Like China, they cannot pronounce like J or L or R, you know, they're just like mixed up. But the main thing is the intensity of your sincerity, your eagerness to chant the holy name of the Lord without any offenses. That is more important. Okay? Anything else?